Thank you, Jim and Diana and ushers. Two weeks from today, right after the morning service, we'll be having a brief security meeting for anybody that would like to stay. It's in conjunction with Church Mutual Insurance Company, which insures churches and church properties like ours across the land. Last year in America, we don't always hear about it all. There was almost 400 acts of terrorism of one kind or another against churches and church congregations. And so we trust the Lord to protect us. We also want to be prepared, and we'll be talking about what we would do in case of a weather event, a fire, as well as a violent intruder. But I'm thankful that we have men in the church who, and women in the church who are interested in security, and we have a plan for different things, and we'll be talking about that 2 weeks from today, a brief meeting right after the morning service. I want you to join me in Proverbs, right after the Psalms, in the center of your Bible. God's guidelines for skillful living, given to us by the Holy Spirit through Solomon, 1,000 years before Christ. We saw last week Jesus, in some instances, repeated the Proverbs and the principles of the Proverbs. In all of the Proverbs, nearly 1,000 of them in the book, are practical, picturesque, pointed statements designed to impart insight into living, into life and living. 50 subjects are spoken about in Proverbs, and today we pick a subject that really none of us needs to hear about, but try to stay awake anyway. Thank you. Today, from the book of Proverbs, we're going to talk about the patient person as opposed to the hot-tempered, ill-tempered person. And we're a calm crowd, so we probably don't need this, but we'll look at it since it's in the Bible anyway. Join me at Proverbs 16, verse 32. We'll be in the book of Proverbs during the next few minutes only, and I'd like it if you'd turn to the various Proverbs with me. What is a patient person like, according to the Proverbs? And obviously, patience is encouraged all through the Bible. In Exodus, we learn that God is a God of patience. In 2 Peter, we know that Jesus is a Lord of patience. In Galatians, we know that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of patience. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. God wants to give us his calm and his patience. Proverbs 16, verse 32, what is a patient person like? Better a patient man than a warrior. We appreciate our warriors. We appreciate those who defend us. There is a place for self-defense. But in general, in relationships, better is a calm person than a combative person. Better is a patient man than a warrior in the sight of God. Look at the last half of the verse. Better a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Throughout the history of the world, there have been plenty of rulers over cities, states, countries, nations, empires who couldn't control themselves. And so the Proverbs tell us from the Lord looks at it as better and stronger and more powerful is a man who can control his own temper than a man who can control an entire city. There have often been people in control of other people who couldn't control themselves. Better a man who controls his temper than one who rules or takes a city. Interesting. How about another one? Let's move on. Chapter 19, verse 11. What is a patient person like? A patient person is a wise person. A patient person is a person who is able to forgive. Proverbs 19, verse 11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. In other words, a wise person is a patient person. A patient person is a wise person. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. When we can overlook an offense from another person, God says that's to our glory. There is a time to defend ourselves. There is a time to stand up and confront. But in lots of little irritations that come our way in life, it is to a person's glory to overlook an offense. It is to the glory of Almighty God that He is a God who overcomes our offenses. We remember that in communion today. I am so thankful that God overcomes through the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection, our offenses, our trespasses, our sins. It is to a man's glory to overlook an offense. Again, there are times when I need to point out something to somebody else and I need to speak the truth in love, but there are a lot of times I need to let things go. It doesn't matter if it's in marriage. It doesn't matter if it's parents and kids and parents. It doesn't matter if it's co-workers or co-students. It doesn't matter if it's neighbors. Whatever the relationship, when you rub shoulders with people, we're going to rub each other the wrong way sometimes. It is to our glory, God says, when we're patient enough to overlook an offense. In marriage, there needs to be open communication. But in day-to-day living together, there's just lots of times that the little rubs need to be overlooked. You need to choose your battles wisely. That's true with your mate. That's true with your kids. That's true with your church family. That's true with everybody you're around. Choose your battles wisely. It's a wise man that's patient. A patient person is wise. It's to our glory, God says, to overlook an offense in others. Don't always be clenching your fist and ready to fight over every little offense. Ephesians 4. Be tenderhearted, compassionate towards one another, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. The Lord taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Peter came to Jesus thinking he was big stuff, and he said, Lord, should I forgive somebody if they offend me seven times in a day, up to seven times? And Jesus said to Peter, no, Peter, if someone sins against you, forgive them 70 times seven. It's to a man's glory to overlook an offense. Chapter 14, verse 29, about patience. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered, hot-tempered man displays folly or foolishness. You ever seen a person lose their temper and look foolish? You ever heard a person lose their temper and sound foolish? Yeah. A patient person is a person of understanding, the Lord says. When I get into the screaming mode with my children and youth, guess who's in control? When a parent is flying off the handle and losing it and screaming, guess who's in control? It's not the parent, it's the kid. And if you get to me, anybody gets to me, any relationship, to the point that I have flown off the handle, so to speak, and I am just letting it fly, then you are controlling me instead of me controlling me or the Lord controlling me. When we lose our temper to circumstances or to other people around us, they are controlling us. The circumstances are controlling us. We're no longer in charge. A patient person has great understanding. 15:18, please. Chapter 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. Obvious, isn't it? But a patient man calms a quarrel. A patient person is a calm person. And a patient person is a person who brings calm to the situation. Lord, give us a church full of calm Christians. Calm people are not only calm within themselves, but they spread the calmness around them. A patient person is a calm person, a peaceful person, who generates calmness and peacefulness around him. That's neat. It's hard to fight by yourself. So you can calm things down when you're not willing to fight over every little thing. Is there a place to fight? Is there a place to stand up? Yes. Most of the time, though, patience can calm a quarrel. And that's what's appropriate. Well, a few things on a patient person. What's an impatient hothead like? Chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil. Remember, the whole foundation of the book of Proverbs is the fear of the Lord and faith in the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord, to respect him. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Faith in the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, respects God and runs from evil. But a fool is hot-headed and reckless. My parents came from Tulsa at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, stayed for 24 hours. Gracie was in a gymnastics meet downtown at the Expo Center that they got to watch. My dad is 85. He said, I've never been to a gymnastics meet in my life, first time in 85 years. And Gracie did well, and it was fun to be together as a family Friday night. But my parents were driving home yesterday afternoon. And if you've been on I-44 lately, whether you're headed to St. Louis or Tulsa, it's like city traffic all the time, all the way. Dad said they were on the Oklahoma Turnpike headed towards Tulsa yesterday afternoon, and there were two trucks that were blocking the lanes, one trying to pass another, and the Oklahoma Turnpike has a 75-mile-an-hour speed limit now, which means everybody drives 80 and 85. But anyway, the two trucks were side-by-side blocking everybody, and Dad was in a long line of cars behind the trucks, and they were driving more like 70 behind these trucks. And Dad said the guy, a couple of cars behind him, pulled off onto the right shoulder, the outside shoulder of the turnpike, and sped up, and he said he probably reached 90 or 95, and Dad watched him whiz by him on the right side and went all the way up the shoulder and passed a long line of cars and passed those trucks on the right and sped over. You've seen that happen. I heard somebody say that. Yeah. A little bit impatient. 70 wasn't fast enough. The Bible says a fool is hot-headed and reckless, and you don't have to be on the turnpike to see road rage. There's plenty of road rage around Springfield. And Lord, forgive us when we lose it on the road. It really doesn't accomplish anything, road rage. In fact, it can make things dangerous and much worse. And so, Dad's story he was telling me on the phone last night when he called to say they made it safely. A fool is reckless, hot-headed, reckless. Proverbs 14:16. It's fine to be adventuresome. That's not what's being talked about here. This is hot-tempered, hot-headed, fly-off-the-handle recklessness. Look at verse 17. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. So the Bible tells us that people who cannot control their tempers are foolish. How about Proverbs 19:19? There is just an element sometimes of humor, if you will, sarcasm to the Proverbs. And it makes a point. Proverbs 19:19. A hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. When we rage, we think we're really getting to the other guy, but the Bible tells us, and not just in Proverbs, that when you go seeking revenge in rage, it will return to you. A hot-tempered man's going to pay the penalty for his own hot temper. And isn't that remarkable at the end of verse 19? If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Have you ever been in association with a person who loses his temper easily? Have you noticed that they don't just get themselves in trouble this week? They get themselves in trouble next week, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. And if your lifestyle is losing your temper, you're going to be in trouble again and again and again and again. And again and again and again. And again. Proverbs 19:3. Wow. This is so true to the human race. A man's own folly ruins his life. A man's own foolishness ruins his own life. But the last half of Proverbs 19:3 tells us who we blame. A man's own foolishness ruins his life. Yet that same man rages against God in his heart, rages against the Lord. In my 31, almost 32 years of being a pastor, how many times have I listened to people blame God for their situation? Proverbs 19:3. A man's own folly ruins his own life. My own choices have their own consequences. We reap what we sow. Yet, we rage against the Lord. Why did you do this to me? These proverbs are practical. It's right where we live. Sometimes things happen that aren't our fault. And rather than rage against God, we need to run to God and ask Him to increase our faith and help us rely on Him. Run to Him, rely on Him. Whether it's our fault from our own foolishness or whether it's just happened and it had nothing to do with us, don't rage against God. God, why did you do this to me? Don't do that. You can go humbly and you can say, Lord, I don't understand why this had to happen. Lord, I don't like it. Be honest. God knows your heart and mind, but don't rage against Him in rebellion. Run to Him and rely on Him and say, Lord, I don't like this. I don't know why this has happened to me. Or maybe in some cases we do know why it's happened to us because we were so stupid. But we run to the Lord and we rely on Him. And we say, Lord, help me. Humble ourselves before Him. Help me understand this and get through this. Don't rage against God. People blame God for all kinds of things when we just need to look in the mirror. Proverbs 19:3. Wow. It's the fool that rages against God. Bad enough to rage against other people. Think of all the human beings in the history of the planet that have cursed God, raging against him. The third command of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God will not leave unpunished the man who takes his name in vain. Don't rage against God. Thankfully, it's not the unpardonable sin. If you curse God, tell him you're sorry. He'll forgive you for that. It's not the unpardonable sin. Don't do it anymore, though. Wow. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man, and do not associate with one easily angered, for you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. If you hang out with hot-tempered people, you're likely to get burned. In fact, there's another proverb that says that. Hot temper burns. Burns us, it burns the people around us. Based on Proverbs 22:24, we could advise any single person, don't marry a hot-tempered mate. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. Any single person who'd like to be married, keep this one in mind. If a person has a temper that they have trouble controlling, don't marry that kind of a person. There's another proverb, we don't have time to look at it, that says, it is miserable to live in a house with an ill-tempered woman. Now, I had to do that because most of these proverbs say a hot-tempered man, but let us be reminded that you ladies can have an ill temper too. It's possible. Yep. Proverbs 29:22. Do you remember the two Sunday mornings we talked about talking, and there was a Proverbs that says, the person who talks a lot sins a lot? Here's similar. Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirs up dissension. Well, sure he does. And a hot-tempered one commits many sins. It doesn't just say, the person who fails to control his temper commits sin. It says a hot-tempered person commits many sins. We know that God at times, who is very slow to anger, gets angry. Jesus overturned tables in the temple twice because they had turned the place of worship and prayer into a place of making money. Jesus, the righteous one, got righteously angry. There is a time when anger is appropriate, when it is against sin. But most of the time, losing our tempers leads to sin. We lose our tempers over all kinds of selfish and stubborn and silly reasons. So, a hot-tempered person sins a lot. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his anger. Just lets it fly.
sprays all over everybody.
A fool cannot control his temper and he just lets it fly. A wise person keeps himself under control. God help us. I need the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the living Christ. I need the Spirit of God, the God who is patient, the Spirit who is patient, to fill my life. And when I am tempted to lose my temper and just rage like a fool, God help me. Calm me down. Slow me down. Help me to pray. Lord, help me to keep my mouth shut until I settle down. Lord God, the Holy Spirit, fill me, calm me. How often when we lose it, we regret it a short time later. God, keep me from regrets over my raging temper. Calm me down. Give me your peace. The fruit of the Holy Spirit of Christ within us, love, joy, peace, patience. And the final one, the ninth one, is self-control. Lord, control me. Help me to be self-controlled. A fool flies off the handle. A wise man is under the control of God. Now, I know nobody here needed this message. But you know, it's good that we can chuckle at ourselves. Some of these proverbs are straight to the heart. Some of them are a little bit humorous. But it's good that we can hear it. It's good that we can heed it. It's good that we can even laugh a little along with it. Yeah. Lord, forgive us when we sin with anger that is selfish, stubborn, silly, stupid. Forgive us when we're hot-tempered and ill-tempered. And Lord, cleanse us and fill us and help us to be patient like you're patient. Lord, bring calm and peace to our lives, the peace that passes understanding. And whatever circumstances we face and whatever people we find ourselves around and up against, we pray that you will give us your patience at all times, in all places, with all kinds of people. Give us your patience. Put a watch over our mouths, Lord. Keep us from giving full vent to our rage. And we're so glad that you are a God of calmness and peacefulness and patience and long-suffering. Thank you for being patient with us. Help us to be patient with others. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, that we might glorify you. And Lord, remind us moment by moment, it is to a man's glory and a woman's glory to overlook an offense. Lord, keep us from fighting about every little thing. Remind us, wise people, patiently overlook an offense. And God, thank you for not just overlooking, but overcoming at the cross our offenses. Thank you for paying the price for our sin. Thank you for cleansing us when we come to you. And Lord, it's my prayer as we take communion that we would confess not only our anger and our tempers, but we would confess all of our sins, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we rejoice as we remember you through communion. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together.
Stand if you would, hymn number 308. 308, my faith has found a resting place.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great Physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
Thank you. You may be seated.